Monty and Maz have arrived in the Hit Studios and the Mac family has arrived at Macca's. Get a free limited edition glass with every medium or large Mac family meal. The Gaundy and Maz Show.
Hey!
Nick Kelly filling in for Gaundy.
That's the housekeeping
show.
Done.
On the show and the podcast. On the show and the podcast.
I'm not just here for the podcast bit.
No.
That would be really slack of Gaundy if he did the whole show.
Like, I'll do the show and I'm tapping out.
Podcast not for me anymore. He should be back tomorrow. But yes, we had a lot of fun this morning.
We did. I really enjoyed your Splendor in the Grass virtual reality experience that you had over the weekend, which isn't in this part of the podcast, but there's like a bonus thing or something. I don't even understand how the podcast works.
It'll be on your feed soon.
So like later?
If you're on the listener app, you can. It'll tell you. When it's up, if you have your notifications on.
But just in case, like, you miss it, you, Nick Kelly, like, over the weekend, like, tapped into, like, a virtual festival, Splendor in the Grass.
So Splendor's normally on in Byron Bay. The weekend is gone. 3-day festival from Friday to Sunday. Yeah. All the biggest acts in the world come. This time, obviously, we couldn't do that. So they made this, like, not just, like, streamed a couple of acts. They made this virtual world that you could tap into with VR goggles could do it on your computer. It was amazing.
It sounds amazing.
Phenomenally done.
Now, at the end of you explaining the virtual festival, I did ask you a critical question, which was, have they managed to fashion together the technology where you can go to the side of stage and flirt your way onto the side of the stage to watch an act?
Which you and I have done multiple times, right?
And then, lo and behold, my Facebook memories come up today, and this, I'm just going to show you the photo and then you tell me where I took this photo.
Okay. That is a photo of Outkast that is taken from the side of the main amphitheater stage. So who did you flirt with that year? Because I know it's not the person that you're with, because that person, oh no, he's bi. That person's bi.
Yeah, he's bi. So it was, I was going to say, who do you reckon got me side of stage?
It was him. And who did he flirt with? It could have been anyone.
Isn't that so funny, though, that came up? I'm like, oh, that's
can I tell
hilarious.
You, I was at that Splendor as well. Outkast, obviously, the Hey Ya people.
They were amazing.
No. I hated that set.
Maybe they were just great from where I was standing,
you
which
know
was
what?
Very close to where they were.
There's a VIP bar at the very top of the hill. And I was in there.
Oh, that's
and
why it
sounds
crap.
Shocking.
You
and
can't
I
hear anything
raining.
In the VIP bar, you snob.
God, we sound like arseholes.
You don't go hang in the gold bar while the good acts on the stage, because everyone's in the gold bar thinking that they're king shit because they work in the music industry. When music festivals is actually about getting down and dirty in the mud, schlepping around and actually appreciating good music for what it's worth.
You were side of stage.
Here is the other. Other photo from that Splendor in the Grass. Can you see the muddy boots?
Oh my god. Actually, I remember that year. Oh my god, I have the biggest story about that year. I stepped on a cane toad that year.
That's amazing.
I got out of my tent. I'd met a lover. And I stepped out of the tent afterwards and I stepped on a cane toad because it was so muddy.
I feel like that whole story is a euphemism. But was it an actual cane toad?
Yeah, it was a cane toad. I had to go to the medical tent. It was really painful. It stung. But I literally stepped out to put my feet onto my thongs that I left outside, and I step on an actual cane.
Oh my god,
disgusting!
Nick, that's a great Splendor story.
It was good. I ended up dating that boy that I met for about 8 months, I think, afterwards. And he broke my heart.
And then, did he break your heart?
He did. He
that's a shame.
He popped up on Facebook as in a relationship with someone else, and I had no idea. Oof. We're doing long distance.
Ouch.
A bit rough. Anyway.
Jeez, this turned into a counselling session.
On the show today.
On the podcast.
Podcast, my apologies.
We've got the Dumb Idea Wheel, which is my favourite wheel. Jimmy Love, Offended by Everything, he's got a ripper today.
Yeah.
And our producer, Matt, celebrated something over the weekend that I didn't realise. Look, I just didn't think Matt celebrated anything because he's a bit of a crank. But
it's going to warm your heart.
Yeah, it is actually really beautiful.
Yeah, it's all coming up. Hopefully Gaundy back tomorrow.
We'll
Ciao.
See.
Ciao.
If not, are you busy, mate? Can I just book you in tentatively? Pencil you in?
Look, the last time I filled in, I got the call at 5:13 a.m. for a show that technically starts at 5:30, so.
Oh, that's true. We start at 5
oh,
now,
5?
too.
Oh, God.
So you'll get an earlier text tomorrow.
Oh, my God. I woke up to pee at 3:30 this morning. I went, I might as well just stay up now. All right, bye.
Before we get there, Nick Kelly, did you know that my husband and I were actually renovating our house at the moment?
I didn't know this, but it's good to know.
So Glenn is a builder, and so he is doing a second story addition on our house, which is a really big deal.
It's huge.
Well, it's tiny in the sense that we have a little tiny cottage and we want to make it a little bit bigger. So he's doing all the renovations at home. So at the moment, our house is kind of like a makeshift work site.
Yep.
So the other day I got home from work and I'm like, oh, let's have a bit of Maz time. Let's have a bit of me time. Let's like go home, put my bag down. I just want to relax. And do a bit of self-care.
Of course.
Henry's at daycare. And I was like, I don't need to get him until the early afternoon. I got home in the mid-morning. And it was so nice. I thought, I can even do, like, I've got the Calm app on my phone. I can do, like, a 10-minute, like, calm meditation of the day. Mm. I was just really vibing on zenning out.
We're doing a face mask in this situation?
No, you're not there. I'm telling you the story.
I'm just trying to put some colour into it.
We are not doing anything.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, no.
But no, I didn't have time for a face mask. I just want to do a bit of meditation.
Maz type, sorry.
And sit down and just chill the heck out. And then old mate, hubby, the builder, in the background starts tinkering away because obviously he's doing the job in the house. And there's like, there's just no self-care. And then there's a few little noises. So I start recording and then my zen turns into... Oh, wait, it gets worse. That's him, like, putting up a wall or something.
No.
Yes. Yep.
What even is that? It sounds like a kraken being awakened.
It is a reciprocal, and he was using it to saw through the gyprock, which is the wall, because he had to put a steel post through the middle of our house to hold the roof up, the new roof of the new level. That's going on the top.
So how did Maz time go?
I left and went for a walk.
Okay. Trending right now. Hit.com.au.
And the only thing that we care about right now is what's going on over in Tokyo, really. It's all we talked about before the show today, Maz Compton.
It really is. It's really, I've become quite a fanatic about these games. And Liam Flanagan from the Scorecard podcast joins us. Hello, Liam.
Good morning, Nick. Hey, we are on the board team. We have got medals in our pocket.
How good.
What matters most.
How amazing.
So
now,
wonderful.
Liam, I just have to level with you straight out of the gates and tell you this. I managed to catch the 4x100 metre freestyle where the girls won the gold.
Yes.
Quite by accident. I hadn't planned it that way. It happened to time well with my son going down for his nap. And Glenn and I sitting on the couch and going, let's just chuck on the games and see what we can see. And it was just the perfect timing. And Liam, I'm not joking. I got so overly emotional. I was sobbing on the couch. And I don't know if, is this something that you hear about a lot in sport? But it was as if I was the mother of the Campbell sisters. Like I was so just floored with emotion and so overwhelmed. And I looked at Glenn and I'm like, I don't even understand what's happening right now. And he's like, what is going on?
These golden girls, you speak of the Campbell sisters, Bronte and Kate, alongside Emma McKeon and 19-year-old Meg Harris. You might have been feeling a bit maternal with young Meg. 19 years of age, Maz.
Maybe.
So motherly instinct might have picked in. Look, you wouldn't have been alone. There would have been tears all around Australia watching that one. They delivered in a massive way, won our first gold, broke the world record, and really it's an event now that Australia have won at the last three Olympics, so there's a heritage there. It was a fantastic performance. They are a super likeable, appealing bunch of athletes, and they delivered in a huge way under immense pressure. We also had two men score medals. Brendan Smith won a bronze, and Jack McLaughlin won a silver in the men's 400. But the swimming, and I know you asked about this on Friday, Maz, the swimming goes up a gear today, if you can believe that, because Emma McKeon, who won a gold yesterday with the relay team, jumped back in the pool. She's competing in the final of the 100 metres butterfly, which she's one of the favourites for. And then we see probably the biggest match race of this whole Olympics. You've got Ariane Titmus, the Aussie champion, going head-to-head with Katie Ledecky, who is she is the female Michael Phelps. She is biggest name in women's swimming. They go head-to-head in the women's 400-meter final. Don't worry about the other six women in the pool.
Don't even worry about it. It's a two-horse
Can
race.
I just say, Ariane Titmus is the greatest name in this Olympics. Ariane Titmus, one of the great names.
Since Misty Hyman from a few Olympics.
Oh, totally. Yes, no one will ever forget that one. Or Emily Seabomb. Yeah. But anyway, can I just talk, Liam, quickly about, because one thing that really got me was, like, there's no crowds. And it's like, these girls just, they broke the world record. They won gold and then they get out of the pool and like the camera doesn't even pan around to the crowd going nuts because there's no crowd. How do you think that that is affecting like the mental state of our athletes?
Look, it is hard to tell at the moment. You speak of, there was the girls had to present one another with their medals. They hung the medals around one another's necks after they did this fantastic thing. So it's a strange environment. I actually think in some capacity it's helping the performances. They're swimming. There's some super fast times in the pool at the moment. It does take a lot of the emotion out of it that you'd naturally get in some performances, but it is disappointing. You think about the reactions as they might have been if they get out of the pool. But look, all our athletes are so professional that the crowds will be an afterthought, really. Yeah, it takes a bit of a shine off some of it, but for the most part, they're still there representing their country, and that's what they've dreamed about doing. But quickly, I should mention, there were some upsets over the weekend that the family might want to know about. Ash Barty got knocked out of the tennis.
Yeah.
She was the number one tennis player in the world. She got knocked out, which is a huge shock.
That is the biggest upset, Liam. She just won Wimbledon.
I know. And I think there's a little bit of fatigue hangover them.
She
played Wimbledon with a huge hip injury that she didn't really tell us all about. And I think there might have been a little bit of a, after you've had a big night out, a big weekend perhaps, and there's a little bit of a dip, you're a little bit hungover maybe. She's had that.
Yeah. Not literally. You just mean like metaphorically.
No, I'm not saying Ash Barty was hungover. No, that would be very clear.
Not on the record of saying that.
Totally.
No.
How did she feel about that? Did we get any sense of how Ash actually felt?
Mate,
because she's such a wonderful sports person that she's obviously going to be quite, reasonable about it. But yeah, did we get any sense of exactly how she feels?
I think you saw, look, Ash isn't staying in the Olympic Village. There's one part to it. She's choosing to stay away from the village.
Yeah.
She also skipped the media obligations. She organised to do a one-on-one interview with Channel 7 as the host broadcaster, which she did. I got the real sense that, and she's a proud Aussie, as we saw at Wimbledon, she wanted nothing more to represent her country, but the loss and all the build-up and all the energy that she used around the Wimbledon campaign, I think she's knackered. Frank.
Yeah.
So disappointing for Ash, but we've still got, and I know Gaundy's not there this morning. Get well soon, Gaundy. Thoughts and prayers out to you as you recover from this illness.
Mate, he's fine.
But I should make mention of his beloved Boomers because they opened their day.
That was a great game last night.
They got it done over Nigeria, Nick. That was the important thing. They needed the win because they got the win when Team USA couldn't. And this, we're talking about America, the famous dream teams of Olympic Park. They lost to France in the early hours of this morning. So that throws the medal race at these Olympic Games wide open. And, of course, the Boomers chasing their first ever Olympic medal at these Games.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Where are we on medals at the moment? Where does Australia sit on the tally?
We sit seventh on the medal tally at the moment.
Not
so we've got one of each colour. And we sit seven. So, heading into day three, it's not a bad spot to be.
And what do we need to look out for this week, Liam? Is there anything in particular that we should try and catch that you think will be excellent viewing?
Look, it is. The Olympics is my best advice is jump online, find the Olympic schedule, and go day to day. It's too hard to work forward any further than 24 hours, Naz. But as I said, those two swimming events today, Emma McKeon and the 100 metres butterfly, that's at about 11:30. And then you've got that match race between Ariane Titmus and Katie Ledecky. That happens at about 12:20 p.m. The other thing as well, if the real Aussies go at the Olympics, you've got the surfing continues today. All four Aussie surfers got through their opening round heat. And then the beach volleyball continues as well. And the triathlon kicks off in about 15 minutes as well. So Aussies galore competing this morning.
It's captured the hearts of people that I don't think expected to be captured by the Olympics this year. Mm. And it's very, very exciting.
It just feels like the good news that we needed after a really rough 18 months. And I think that's why I was so emotional yesterday.
Well, and that's the other part of it. The world is going through a pretty rough trot at the moment. And the Olympics is a nice piece of escapism for people.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Liam, thank you so much, buddy. We'll check in with you on Friday. Is that all right?
Can't wait.
Can you fit us in your busy schedule?
I'll be honest with you, I'll probably have to raise it for everybody. I'm sitting in my bed. I've got the blanket tucked up around my chin. And my almost one-year-old is out in the living room shouting at the top of his lungs. So I'll probably just stay here till Friday.
What, shouting for you to make breakfast or shouting, go Australia?
Liam Flanagan from the Scorecard podcast. You can check it out on the Listener app. That is LASTNR. We'll chat to you Friday, buddy.
See you guys.
It's the Wheel of Dumb Ideas.
Nick Kelly, did you think it was odd when you came into the studio and you were like, what is the that 50K feeling wheel still doing in the studio?
Like, I really like that it's just been sort of, so that when we were doing the 50K feeling thing the other week, spin a wheel, win a prize, it's now been put over with an A4 sheet of paper that says the Wheel of Dumb Ideas.
Yeah, because that's what we wanted to, you know, upcycle. In the name of sustainability, we just didn't want to throw it out. So we've upcycled it to the Wheel of Dumb Ideas because, let's face it, we have a lot of dumb ideas, and we thought, rather than let them go to waste, let's put them on a wheel and get them on the air.
Do them on the radio as well. Producer Ash with us as well this morning. Hello.
Hello, guys. Very exciting.
So who's spinning the wheel?
I think you should.
Really?
Because this is
such an honour.
It's a rare treat.
Thank you so much.
Give it a spin, and then we'll do one of the ideas.
Okay, I'm coming up for a spin. Here we go.
Got it. Go hard spin.
This always makes me nervous because I don't know what we're actually going to get.
That's the best bit, Ash. But you know it's going to be a dumb idea.
No, I look forward to it. So they're all topics and stuff mostly.
Oh, that's weird. Oh. We spun that up like we did a fake spin the other day in the podcast when we do our podcast introduction. And we actually did spin that one up. But it was with Gaundy. But Gaundy's not here, so that means, so this is how this one works. It is, who would play you in a movie about your life?
Oh.
But I have to say who would play you, Nick Kelly.
Oh, my God.
And you have to say who would play me.
Okay. Okay. I've got an idea.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Well, I want to know who you think would play you in a movie first. Or who would you like to have play you?
10 kilos ago, I would have said Troy Sivan should play me.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
But he's a skinny...
He's skinny.
Skinny gay boy. So...
Yeah.
And I'm less skinny these days.
Okay. Yep.
I think he would do a good job. He's been an actor.
Okay.
We've met a few times. You know, he knows my intricacies and stuff. So I would like to see him play me. But who do you reckon is going to play me?
It's like, it's sort of Seth Rogen territory.
Oh my, is that based on my weight?
No.
Have I progressed into Seth Rogen territory?
No, but he has slimmed down lately. He was a bigger guy.
Yeah, true.
And I'm not saying that like you were a bigger guy, but he has, I reckon you guys could be in the same vicinity.
We've now met in the middle. But what is it about his personality that you think matches mine?
He gives off stoner vibes without being a stoner.
Do I give off stoner vibes?
Sometimes. It's endearing because you're relaxed, but then you've got this fiery side in you, and then I'm thinking, this is off the top of my head.
I like this.
It's like that or a mashup between him and Russell Brand. Do you have like Russell Brand vibes?
I'm taking all of this as a very big compliment. Do you agree, Ash?
Yes.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Of Seth Rogen. He's shirtless and he's like blinking into the camera very mystically.
Well, he's also got stoner vibes because he's doing a cannabis. He's got a cannabis like...
His own line.
Line. Yes. Yeah.
Of course
a range.
Does. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll take it as a compliment.
It's only intended as a compliment. This is...
And it would be a funny movie.
It would be a funny movie. You're a funny guy.
Like, I think he'd be really good at playing like my very early 20s. They were the chaotic years of my life.
You are in your early 20s. What are you talking
about? I'm in my mid-20s now. I'm 26 as of 2 weeks ago. Very old. God. Now, Compton.
Yes.
Again, it's a mix. And you're going to be... I think you're going to be really complimented by this, actually. The first thing I thought was J-Lo.
Oh, yeah.
She's
50.
Yeah, but she's hot 50. she's proper hot 50.
She's 52 and she... I can't even deal with how hot she is.
She's your kind of like hot, kind of like, your spiritual side. Yeah, your hot auntie. She's got your spiritual side, but your chaotic kind of semi ochre bogan side that sort of comes through sometimes.
Yes.
That would be Michaela Bannis.
Whoa.
You know Michaela Bannis?
Yes.
She was in Upper Middle Bogan.
Yes.
She's in a whole bunch of great comedies and stuff.
I've not heard the words Michaela Bannis for a number of years.
I am bringing them out for you.
Okay.
Because
Michaela Bannis.
So a mixture between those two. Michaela Bannis channeling a bit of that J-Lo calm, I think,
so
would
like
be really
Michaela
good.
So like Michaela Bannis playing a young me. Oh, yeah. I see that.
You see it?
Yeah. I can deal with that.
And I reckon maybe...
Oh, God, how many people are playing me?
There's a lot of people in the running for this role because none of them are saying yes because they don't want to play a movie about you.
Well, there's no script yet. Anyone else that springs to mind?
No.
There's no one else in the public eye that you think I look strikingly like.
Well, it's not always about looks, you know.
It is when it's a biopic. There's not one person on the planet that's highly publicised, has a really high media profile.
Are you talking about Mila Kunis?
No. Anyone else? That's a compliment. They're all compliments, by the way.
Are you trying to fish for something here? Are you trying to bait me into it?
Do I think I look exactly like Meghan Markle?
And Justin Bieber, who has done a number of Christmas songs over the journey. I don't want to miss out on the holiday.
But I can't stop staring at your face. It's good.
It is good. He did a whole album, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did a Christmas album. And we're talking about Christmas in July. And it's just surprising that producer Matt brought this to our attention this morning.
Thank God, get what I did over the weekend.
Is that an impersonation?
That's my producer Matt voice. Yeah.
Producer Matt at 5:15 when we planned the show.
Happy Boxing Day, guys, by the way.
Hey, you should be having the day off if it's Boxing Day.
There's so much sport on. I'm ready. It's like the Boxing Day test, but instead
really
I'm going to watch the
games. So right.
All the things.
You'll be asking for double time today, won't you?
I expect it.
Hey, you don't deserve it. Now, let's talk about Christmas in July, so you celebrate.
Hang on. We need to set the mood.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas okay, chat cool. Can resume.
Thank you. So Christmas in July happened over the weekend and I've heard of it being a thing, but I've never really, you know, dabbled in it. But Matt, you went like full out Christmas celebration over the weekend.
Yeah, I did it last year for my partner Courtney. I did it again this year.
What did you do? Like, can you set the scene? Explain the lengths that you went to celebrate Christmas in July.
Well, I got all the decorations out first off. I have my fiddle leaf, which I covered in ornaments and tinsel and stuff. I then went around the curtain rods with all the tinsel. I then have a miniature Christmas tree that I put up. I didn't get the full Christmas tree out, just a miniature
fair
one.
Enough. No,
did you do all of this before Courtney woke up? So that
I did it on Christmas Eve this year. She knew that I was prepared.
So Christmas Eve was Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah, got it.
Saturday. Fake Christmas.
So this was Saturday.
Yes, yeah, okay. And I put my Christmas sweater on.
Oh,
I put,
my God.
I got my iPad out and put the fireplace on YouTube for 10 hours, and I had the fireplace at the front there. Christmas music was playing.
It's so romantic.
And then I had Christmas presents, obviously, under the tree. And
where did you get her?
I got her, she really wants a new hobby, so I got her a candle-making kit to do in lockdown.
Oh, what did you get? What did she get you? She got you presents?
And I got her a foam roller because, you know, exercise stuff. But I got a full-on smoker barbecue thing.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Insane.
I saw you setting this
so
up.
So good.
So hang on. So does this replace actual legit Christmas?
No.
You have Christmas in July and you do presents under the tree in July. And then in December.
Yeah.
Was there a price limit you set for each other?
There's no price limit. No. Christmas is so good. It is my favorite time of the year. Why don't we do it twice?
I am with you for the first time in our working relationship. I actually agree with something that you said, and I think you sound like a normal human. This is like...
Congratulations.
Really amazing. I think this is... and it's really sweet. That this is something that Courtney loves.
Yeah.
And you've like really gone to all the effort to make
it's
such
good.
A big deal.
Why does Courtney love it so much? Is there a reason? Did she do it as a kid?
Or? I surprised her with it last year. So she woke up in the morning and it was there.
God.
So that's why She now knows that it's my thing. That
it's your thing.
I've got to give it to you. You are a good boyfriend.
Mate, this is... That's husband material
that
stuff.
That is husband material.
Like, that's full on.
Now, Boxing Day, I'm going to have a bunch of beers. Go watch the sport and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, I want to take calls on this because I don't know if there's anyone else out there. Did you celebrate Christmas in July over this last weekend? Or maybe it's something that you've done in the past? Because I think that we should... Like, I'm gunning for 2022, Christmas in July.
Yeah,
like,
I'm invested
now. Let's put
now.
That on the calendar now and then, like, tell the bosses about it. What is Jimmy Love? Da, da, da. What is Jimmy Love? Da, 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 da. What is Jimmy Love? Love. Offended by today. Jimmy Love.
Good morning, Nick. Good morning, Maz.
It is lovely to see you, and I always get excited about what you are offended by each week, and it's a weekly thing.
It is.
Congratulations on getting your own segment. I'm very impressed.
Thank you very much, my dear friend Nicholas Scully. Now, this week, it really ties in with the games that are happening at the moment.
Oh, does it? Interesting.
The ones that happen every 4 years?
The ones that happen every 4 years. Because a whole lot of armchair experts start coming out. And this has been a pet hate of mine for many, many, many years. Because, Nick, you know that I'm a humongous Central Coast Mariners fan in the A-League.
So we go to soccer games together and I'll often sit next to Jimmy. I was sitting next to Jimmy.
When you were up before everything got shut down. Before the world drama. Stopped.
He goes into this, like, almost like... orb-style bubble within himself no one is listened to, no one is talked to, Jimmy in the game. He may as well not be there with any friends or anyone that he knows.
Are you in the bubble right now? Is that the face that you make?
That was the face that I make. And I always say, guys, I'm happy to go on my own. I don't need you guys here for me to enjoy the game.
So you're not apologising for your behaviour?
No, I just want to watch the game.
Okay.
Other people want to banter around, throw comments around. I want to watch the game.
This is so surprising to me because you are the guy that's always about the banter.
Yeah, I know.
We're trying to get out of a meeting on time and you like bring up something from 3.5 years ago and want to dissect it and then take a vote. And you're like, you're the king of banter. But when it comes to your precious A-League team, no banter, get me in the zone.
And one time the Mariners were losing 1-0 with 10 minutes to go and Nick said, if only we could score 2 goals in the last 10 minutes, we'll win the game.
Was I wrong?
And that...
Captain Obvious. Oh. Thanks.
Anyway, back to what I'm offended by is then I'll turn up at work and some idiot will go, go the Newcastle Jets. And I'll go, name 3 players from the Newcastle Jets. Oh, and then they're there. You do not support a team if you cannot even name 3 players on that team. So don't come in here, go the Jets, If you can't name 3 players on a team, you are not a fan of that team.
So wait, hang on a second then. So with the games that are on at the moment...
The ones in Tokyo that happen every 4 years.
A lot of people can't name 3 of the athletes.
Name 3 of the skateboarders. Go.
Oh, gosh. It's Shane O'Neill, I think the Australian one is. That's only because I put a bet on him yesterday.
Gamble responsibly.
I love
it. May I say, it also extends to people who wear band T-shirts and then you're like, oh, I'm really into Paramore as well. What are your 3 favourite songs?
Oh, my God.
No idea.
Let's sing it again. What is Jimmy Love? All together now. Da, 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 da. What is Jimmy Love? Da, 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 da.
Today. Trending right now. Hit.com.au. Okay, guys, there are some brand new exposure sites that we need to explain to people and cover off. And obviously, we do broadcast to all of New South Wales.
Yep.
But right now, all eyes are on not just Sydney, Greater Sydney, but the Central Coast in particular, because that is the area where there are some new cases that have popped up.
There have been some developments over the weekend, and here to explain is HIT's New South Wales News Director, Dave Dolan. How are you, Dave?
Good, thank you, Nick and Maz.
Morning, Dave. Okay, can we just first of all cover off what's happening on the Central Coast? Can you give us a bit of an update on exposure sites and what people in those areas need to do?
Sure. So firstly, it started because we had a household contact of four previously announced cases test positive. Now, that person has visited over a dozen venues while infectious late last week, including some of the Central Coast's busiest shopping centres. Now, you'd imagine if you had people in your household with COVID, you would be laying low too. It appears that hasn't happened.
But no, it feels like they went on a shopping spree. Like,
It's borderline offensive.
Many, many places to shop, not just like a quick trip to the shops. This was like, let's go to all the supermarkets.
Lots of browsing. Now, we don't quite know yet exactly what's happened here, but it doesn't really matter because the damage has been done. So you're right, there is a very long list of casual contact sites. Westfield, Tuggerah, also Lake Haven and North Lakes shopping centres, and the Bunnings at Charm Haven, over a dozen sites, and really popular, busy venues. So lots of people would have got text messages last night saying that they were casual contacts. So the advice there is to get tested and isolate until they get a negative result. And New South Wales Health has that full list on their website, including times.
Okay, that's covering off what's happening on the Central Coast. And that's just good to know what people are supposed to do, because I think there's been a bit of confusion, Dave, around if I am a close contact, what does that mean? So it's just good to kind of, you know, lay it bare on what the protocol is.
So just quickly, Matt, so there's only one close contact exposure site. That's the H&R Block at Tookley on the Friday afternoon. So obviously this person's got their tax done as well.
Yeah. That'll be nice to have a nice little cash injection coming in.
It's July. It's a good time to do tax.
Now, Dave, obviously big story over the weekend as well. We saw unfold on Saturday some really ugly scenes in the Sydney CBD of people protesting the lockdown. It kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. What have police had to say about the protests so far?
Oh, it was horrible, Nick. So we had 57 people charged so far. They're furious, as you can imagine, and they vowed to investigate every single report into that protest on Saturday. So far, more than 5,500 calls have been made to Crime Stoppers. So people are dobbing in those who attended. It didn't take them long to catch up with our bloke who has gone viral, of course, for appearing to strike a police horse.
What a prick.
Now, there was some conjecture over whether he punched the horse or not. And that's now for a court to decide that he has been charged. Thankfully, that horse called Tobruk wasn't injured and is back on duty now. And just quickly, Nick and Maz has been swamped with donations of carrots.
Great.
So,
good.
An outpouring of support for Tobruk, the
so
police
there,
horse.
It, see, there are beautiful stories amongst the chaos. That's what I love about humanity. Absolutely. Like, there's that dark side, and then there are some beautiful moments as well.
Yeah. But this, the protest just, it hasn't gone to plan as to what they would have hoped for. I mean, yeah, there is a time and a place for protesters, for protests, but they got it wrong here. There is a lot of anger around, I get that, but, the Premier's not going to reverse her decision because of a protest in Sydney.
No.
And they're now saying this lockdown could last until mid-September. So the government could make a call on that this week, possibly as early as today. But the fear is that this protest will turn into a super spreader event. So
that was what I couldn't really understand, Dave. And I agree with you. Like, we have the right to assemble. Yes. Not right now, though. This is not the right time to do that. And what I guess angered me the most was I understand the frustration because a lot of people are living through this together and our situations are vastly different, yet we're one in the same. It's a really challenging time. That is not going to help. All that is going to do is make sure that these lockdown laws stay in force for even longer because cases are going to escalate even further now. There's a super spreader event that's been organised by people who are not really taking this seriously. That's what I felt. I was like, anyone who's marching in that protest is not taking this seriously, and it's a very selfish act when we need to band together as a community to rise above and get through this.
I think it's worth also mentioning that the police minister did urge people who were there to get tested. And look, if you were at that protest, I presume half the people don't believe in testing and don't believe in masks and stuff as well. But if you were in that area and you're on the Central Coast now, or you're in greater New South Wales, get tested. Do it for your loved ones. Do it for yourself.
Yeah, so I guess we just all have to bunker down now, Dave, and we just wait for Gladys Berejiklian to let us know what it's going to look like later this week as far as lockdown, yeah?
Yeah, that's it. All we can do is just wait and hope that those numbers go down. I mean, you're right that you know, this protest could you know see that lockdown extended
hopefully
further.
Hopefully not, but we'll see.
So, yeah, it'll all depend on the case numbers. And yeah, we saw over the weekend as well, a 38-year-old woman dying from COVID.
So sad.
With no underlying medical conditions. So it is a horrible disease. You don't want to get it. So
yeah.
Dave, thanks for keeping us across the news this morning. And it's look, if you are in a situation where you're in an area that is locked down, I've heard that there's a lot of sports happening on the television at the moment. So there's an upside. There's some great sporting action from the world's best athletes to watch while you're at home.
Good on you.
Well, that's it for Gaundy and Maz today. Missed any of the show? Download the Listener app now and enjoy with the Mac family, which has just arrived at Macca's.